And if I be lifted up, verse 32 of John 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let's bow our heads this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll move in this meeting and you'll move upon your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your way in all of our hearts and lives. Bless your word. Lord, we renounce and rebuke sickness and infirmity and the spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. And we speak health to the navel, strength to the bones and the marrow of the bones. In the mighty name of Jesus, may your word come over us as rain. Your spirit as a former and the latter rain. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, have your way in our lives, in this meeting. Touch your people once again, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray that those that's feeling sick will feel well. Those that's feeling down will be uplifted from the inside, coming to the outside, in the mighty name of Jesus. Meet every need. Prosper and bless your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless her sister Jenny. Be with her in a special way. Bless all the family. Meet their every need. Be their portion, Lord. Comfort them. Strengthen them. Bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me now. And I thank you that you do. And I believe you, Lord. Bless your word, for it is blessed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I hope none of you is going to fall out on me because of canceling the voice of God. Hey, amen. You know, you know I believe Brother Branham's message, but I don't agree with people getting up and saying we don't need a fivefold ministry. That's a contradiction to the Bible. Jesus called for the fivefold ministry and he chose his disciples and sent them forth. And when people tell you not to do it, that's the thing that the prophet of God said to do. So why would we go against it and support someone that's not? I just don't agree with it. I'm sorry. I don't agree with it. Praise God. This is what I agree with here. Now I'm quoting you from a slightly different translation. I hope you're not thrown out for that. But verse 12 of Acts 4, and there is salvation in and through no one else. Want you to get that this morning. There is salvation in and through no one else. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men and in which we must be saved. His is the saving name. There is no other saving name. You can join whatever you want. You can promote whatever you want. You can organize whatever you want. But if it's not the name of Jesus Christ, it's without life. Amen. Because we've sang it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. When Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus, he raised him from the dead. Because he says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And if you've got Jesus, you've got life. And if you've got Jesus, you've got health. And if you've got Jesus, you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you've got Jesus, you've got power. Amen. There's no other substitute for the name of Jesus Christ. All that he would, when you breathe that name. The song says the deserts bloom. The flowers grow again. Just at the mention of his name. There's power in his name. There's authority in his name. You can invoke the name and it'll do something. You receive the name in baptism, Acts 2:38. You take the name of Jesus Christ. And when you take the name, there's power with the name. And there's a seal with it. For it says you'll receive the Holy Ghost. And Ephesians says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. There's power in that name. Here he says, if I be lifted up. Remember John 3, verse 14, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And he's telling him heavenly things. The necessity of his own crucifixion. He's telling Nicodemus that he's going to go to the cross. He's telling Nicodemus that he must be lifted up. And if he's not lifted up, it can't happen. But he's going to be lifted up. And he's telling him he must be lifted up. And he's telling him, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus Christ. This is the problem, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you something. There's people lifting other names too much. And it is the wrong name. Are you hearing me? But the name of Jesus needs lifting. And there's no such thing as lifting it too much. You cannot. You will not. But it must be lifted. Hallelujah. It's the name that must be lifted. Every true preacher. I tell you one thing. If you're in a church or you're in a service somewhere and they preach for half an hour and they don't talk about Jesus, my advice to you is leave. Get out quick. Well, you're not in a church. You're in a lodge. Not a church. A true church shall speak his name. A true church shall lift his name. It'll be the theme. It'll be the center. Hallelujah. Because it's his name. It's power in his name. Power in the name. When you were unsaved, when you were in the world, in a jail, in a pub, high in drugs, high out in drink, but when you called on that name, something happened. Deliverance came in that name. It wasn't any other name. No prophet, no priest, no king, no church, no lodge, no movement, but the name. The name. The name. The name. His name's above every other name. Neither is there salvation in any other name. Only his name. When the elders of the church come, they don't pray for someone in their own name or the movement's name. We don't say in the name of a mega ministry or some other name. We say in the name of Jesus Christ. We anoint with oil. It's in his name. He's promised when you invoke the name, something will happen. There's power in the name. There's an inheritance in the name. Because you've took the name. And it's a name that's above every other name. He wants it lifted. He wants it preached. He wants it talked about. He wants it mentioned. He wants it breathed over your children. Breathed over your home. Spoken of. Mentioned. The world has lost the meaning of the name of Jesus. They use it in a swear word. They use it in a curse word. But it is the sweetest name that ever can be named. The lovely, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's authority in that name. Like no other name. I tell you, there's too much preaching on other names. There's too much talking on other names. And there's too much talking about oneself. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. I never died for you. Peasley said, and William Mullen used to say, the Baptist never bled and died for Ian Peasley or William Mullen. It was Jesus Christ that bled and died. He bled and died for me and you on the cross. Not the message movement that bled and died for us. Not the name of the message or the movement. It's the name of Jesus Christ that we need this morning. It's power in that name. Authority in that name. There's life in that name. As soon as you call in the name, you're saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. As soon as you believed, you were saved. God kept his word. You did what the word said. He did what it said. You were saved. There's a change came. A change came. A change came in you. A change went through you. Because there's power in the name. You could have took another name. There'd never been a change. There'd never been a power. There'd never been a movement. You'd be still the same. You'd be dead in your sins. You'd be lost. You'd be still far from God because you can't get saved in any other name. But when you took the name of Jesus, you were saved. You weren't just saved then. You were saved for all time. You were saved for all eternity. You can't be saved and lost. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're in, and nobody can put you out. Are you in this morning? Amen. I'm in. and nobody could put me out because the Lord brought me in. Oh, but brother, I had a great week. It makes no difference. It's not down to your week. It's down to the cross. It's not down to what you've done. It's down to what he done. It's not down to how good you are. It was down to his obedience to the Father. He went the whole way to the cross. He bled and he died at the cross for you and me. He shed his blood for you and me. For you and me to be saved so that our sins could be removed. Washed away from the memory of God into the sea of God's gratefulness. No longer to be remembered against us no more. My sins are gone. And they're gone to stay. As people could pull out files this morning and say you've done this and you've done that. But Jesus said the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Not just from all sin, but from all unrighteousness. The Bible says the sins of thy youth will I remember no more. They're washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. God can do something that a prophet can't do. Did you know that? He can forget. He can forget. Prophet can't do that. He'll remember. But the Bible says God can forget your sins. You see, Jesus wasn't just a prophet, but he was prophet, king, and priest. And he was God manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. You see, Jesus tells Nicodemus the Messiah must be cut off for his first advent and be put on an open shame and been hanged on a tree. This, the Lord illustrates the well-known event in history of Israel, wondering the story of the brass serpent. That's what he tells them about. He takes them to the message. You see, I told you here Wednesday night, you can never know someone until Jesus opens your eyes to see it. Even two disciples were with the Lord, they didn't know him. And he walked up the road with them all day and they didn't know him. But as soon as Jesus opened their understanding, they knew. And that's the same with the man that's not saved, the woman's not saved. They could sit in 1,000 meetings and never be saved. But just one day, one moment, God could open their eyes and they could see him. Because it's God's work, not man's work. It's God that opens man's eyes. And as soon as Jesus revealed himself to them, the Bible said he made himself known to them. And what did he do? He preached to them. I told you, he preached to them from the prophets. Isn't it amazing how Jesus took the Old Testament and preached? And here he's doing it with Nicodemus. He's quoting Numbers 21:9, the books of Moses. And there's five books of Moses. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, Numbers 21:9. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. My brother, my sister, this morning, if you're sick, look afresh to Jesus. I'm talking about physically, spiritually. You can look on the Lord and be healed. If God threw an Old Testament brass serpent on a pole and somebody could be healed, how much more can you be healed looking on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? Surely there's more power in that than there was in a brass serpent. It was only a type of someone greater that was coming. John 3:14, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He preaches it to them. And that word must means necessary. It was necessary that Jesus went to the cross. That's why he came. It was great. All the miracles and everything was great. We know he done that. But the reason he came was to go to the cross. The reason he came, because no other man could go. Did you hear that? No other man could go. No other man was good enough. No other man could come and say, I fulfilled the law. You could look at no other man and say, he had no sin. He knew no sin. He done no sin. He's a perfect, spotless Lamb of God. You can't say that about no other man, but you can say it about Jesus. Can't say it about nobody else. Every other man had failed. David in all his glory failed. Solomon in all his glory failed. All of them failed. Every one of them failed. They had to fail. Did you know that? They had to fail. Because there was one coming that wouldn't fail. There was one coming that wouldn't make a mistake. There was one coming that would never be out of the will of the Father, but he did the Father's will. And even he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus done the Father's will to save you. He done the Father's will to save me. He was lifted up for you. He was lifted up for you on the cross for you and me, that we could receive. Amen. And we can look at him. I tell you, people talk about, I want the power of God in the meeting. If you lift Jesus, it'll happen. Amen. If you talk about the Lord, his power will come. Jack Cole used to say, just start off and say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Mean it like you love him. Say it like you love him. Say it till you feel it. Say it till it gets a hold of you. Say it till it moves in you. And I'll guarantee you the power of God will come on you if you'll do it. Because Jesus will come when his name's mentioned. He'll move at the mention of his name. He'll come on the scene. He'll come on the scene. Calling Jesus on the scene. There is a man here that can turn on the light. Power of the Lord was present because the Lord was there. And the power of the Lord was present to heal because the Lord was there. And when the Lord comes and when the Holy Spirit moves, his power is present. Now he promised for two or three of us that's gathered in his name, he will be in the midst. And that to bless us. God wants to bless you. The devil wants to rob you. The devil wants to ruin you. But God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. Are you hearing me? It's the enemy that wants to rob you. It's the enemy that wants to steal from you. But God wants to bless you. You need to invoke that name on him. Turn the name on him. It's like turning a pit bull on a wild boar. Let him loose out. And I tell you, the name of Jesus has got power in it. Power. Power to save. Power to heal. Power to fill with the Holy Ghost. And he's coming again. You see, God promised it. It is necessary in order that God's promise of Redeemer may be fulfilled. The types of the Old Testament sacrifices accomplished. The law of God be satisfied. And a way for God's mercy be provided. In order for all this to be done, the Messiah must suffer in our room, in our stead. The phrase, lifted up, means the cross. Lifted on the cross. That's what lifted up means. When he said to Nicodemus, I must be lifted up. He was pointing him to the cross. You see, you know, there's a fellow one time and he went the whole way around New Zealand. And he told all the churches, we don't need the cross no more. And he preached around every church, we don't need the cross no more. And he split every church in New Zealand. Because he said, we don't need the cross no more. I've only one message for him. False prophet. That's what his name is. I don't care who he is, who he belongs to, what's the name over the building, or how many attends it, or the amen him up and down every Sunday's false. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's the Bible. Paul said that I would know nothing amongst you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. What do you think Brother Branham himself preached? William Branham didn't preach William Branham. William Branham preached Jesus Christ. He preached, there's a man here can turn on the light. He preached broken cisterns. And he showed us for man's ways were broken, but God's ways work. He preached the truth. But people today are not preaching what he preached. They're not saying what he said. The message was to turn us back to the original apostolic message. That's the book of Acts. That's what we need to go back to. That's the heart-turning message. Isn't it sad today people don't want Pentecost? They're proud to tell you, I'm not Pentecost. I have moved beyond Pentecost. Now I'm going to tell you one thing. They're going to the Feast of Israel, and that's where they get lost. Because after chapter 3 in Revelations, God's dealing with Israel, not the Gentiles. The Gentile church goes up and God turns to Israel. And you have to watch. You don't mix up scriptures for Israel. And the Gentiles mix them all up. God's going to deal with Israel. God's going to save them in one day. He's going to save them. You see, we were that wild branch that was grafted in. Amen? We were the wild branch that was grafted in. Israel's original branch. They were blinded. Now God blinded them. God blinded them. How many knows God blinded them? They didn't blind themselves. This is what I'm telling you. The mystery of Jesus Christ is God revealed. Jesus Christ, the mystery of God revealed. God blinded Israel for a reason. Because he loved us. He loved us. We were heathens. We were away from God. We were the wild branch. And we were grafted in. But I'm telling you one thing. This wild branch is going to go in the rapture. The Lord's coming for the church. And we're going to go. And God's going to turn back to Israel. And you know he's going to open their eyes. And they're going to cry out to God. And Jesus is going to appear to them. How do you know that, Brother Tom? Because they're going to say, where did you get the holes in your hands and the marks in your feet? Yeah. Yes. And he'll say, I got these in the house of my friends. Only God can open man's eyes. Let's look at the resemblance of that serpent and Christ for a moment this morning. As Israelites were sore in distress and dying from the bites of the poisonous serpent, so is man in great spiritual danger, dying from the poisonous effects of sin. Every one of us is born in sin. Every one of us is sheep in iniquity. We have a disease this morning called sin. And the only cure for it is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the devil doesn't want the blood preached. He doesn't want the blood preached. He doesn't want you to sing about it or preach about it or talk about it, because it's the greatest antidote the world's ever seen. Hallelujah! It's the vaccine you need. The blood of Jesus. Not something out of some clinic from some boy that's concocted some potion up somewhere and he doesn't know where it works or not, and he's tested out a few rats. I'm honest this morning here. This thing's proven. And it's proven from the foundation of the world. This is part of God's plan. Amen. And God's plan's a perfect plan. You need the vaccine. The vaccine. If you got the vaccine, I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. That's the vaccine I'm talking about. Amen. You could get another one and do you harm. This one will do you good. This one removes sin. It removes sin. Not only does it remove them, it leaves no trace of them. Far away from the very memory of God, it removes sin. Not only does it remove sin, but it says, by his stripes, his wounds, I am healed. 1 Peter 2:24, he his own self bare our sins on the tree, that we've been dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes wounds we were healed. The Lord's your healer. Do you believe the Lord's your healer? Just as you confess him as your Savior, you can confess him, brother, as your healer. Amen. And as you confess him as your Savior, he said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. Then if you confess him as your healer, something's going to happen. Amen. You got your healer. Do you ever go out and do something and you feel you're going to get the cold? How many's ever done that? I've done it. You ever do something when you've done it, you're sort of worried, thinking I'll get the cold. Well, that happened to me the other day. I went to work with a fella, and when he went to put the windy up, and he said, don't put the windy up. The windy was broke. And we drove the whole way to work. And I'll tell you, it was a cold morning, Friday morning. Who was out on Friday morning? It was cold. We went the whole way with the windy down. The whole way with the windy up. And the devil told me all along, he says, you'll be bad in the morning. You'll be bad coming in the morning. You ever hear him talking to you? You'll be bad in the morning. Boys, you'll be bad in the morning. You'll be bad in the morning. Now, it was stupid. It was stupid that the windy was down. I could do nothing about it. I got a big coat around me. But I'm all right in the morning. I believe in God in the morning. Even though it was stupid. You can hear me this morning. Don't think Tommy's stupid and I never done nothing like that. Because you put your foot in it straight away if you say that. Because every single one of us has done something and afterwards we've said, I wish you'd never done it. Is that the truth? Yes. But even if you've done something and wished you'd never done it, there's still mercy with the Lord. Amen. That's what I'm telling you. There's still mercy with the Lord. Amen. Even when you fall short, there's still mercy with the Lord. Yes. The blood of Jesus lays there for you. It lays there for you.
Hallelujah! And even if you do something stupid, the Lord can still turn it around
because He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love.
You can't tell the breadth of it, the depth of it, the height of it. That's God's love. Praise God.
Psalm 59 verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He won't hear you. That's why we have to look to Christ. We were separated away. As a serpent of brass was lifted up on the pole in the sight of the camp of Israel, so Christ was to be lifted up on the cross publicly in the sight of the whole nation, all the Passover. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, He was naked. You'd say, Brother Tom, why are you saying that? There's a reason why He was naked. He was put to the shame. The shame. Because the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And you and me had a curse that we inherited from the first Adam. We inherited the curse because God cursed the ground because of sin, and He cursed everything. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. God cursed it because they disobeyed God. But on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus hung naked, that curse was on Him. And He took the curse so that the curse on you and the curse on me could be broken. And you don't need some special type of a meeting to tell some boy all your sins and all your past. But when you come to Jesus, He will lift the curse. Hallelujah. Amen. And He'll break the power of sin. And He'll set you free. He breaks the curse. He lifts the curse. As a serpent lifted up on the pole was an image of the very thing which had poisoned the Israelites, even so as Christ had Himself no sin, and yet was made sin and crucified. That brazen serpent had no poison, no poison in it. But it was an image. It was an image of a serpent that bit people. It was a brass serpent, the thing that bit people, that killed people. Do you ever see them old westerns, you know? And the snake bites the boy, and the big cowboy gets the knife out. Hold on for a minute, and he cuts him, and then he sucks it out of his hand, or wherever he's been bitten, he spits it out. And I don't know if that's real or not. I doubt it. I really doubt it. But I'm just telling you, you know, the movies, how they do it. Then he warms the knife on the fire, and he roasts him. And he gives a squeal out of him. And you ever see that, how they do it? And he's laying about for a day or two, and a couple of days, he's all right again. I tell you, if you get bit with the right snake, you're dead. Now, I'm telling you, now how many knows this is true? What you have to do, this is what you have to do. You have to get the venom out of the snake to the clinic, and they make a vaccine. Now, I know, an antidote, now I know I've condemned vaccines, but you didn't have the right one with all that other stuff. I'll get into that. But how many knows how to do with a snake? The antidote. They make the antidote from the snake. So they need the snake's poison to make it. And they make someone that stops you dying. And you, that serpent in brass had no poison in it, but it represented the serpent that bit. And Jesus Christ on the cross took your poison. He became your antidote. Your antidote was on the cross. And it took His life's blood to be shed for the greatest antidote that this world's ever seen, when the blood of Jesus was shed. You could go to a clinic today and get blood, and my blood type, mine's over someone, it's a bit rare, but my blood type might match your blood type. What is it, Mom? A. I don't know. Who else is A in here? Nobody. There you are. I'm A. These fellas is all A, my man says. They don't even know themselves, neither do I. But listen, what I'm telling you is, any of you sisters who work in the hospital, a sister that works with blood's not here this morning, but you know that you need certain blood types to match certain people. How many knows that? But you see, the blood of Jesus matched everybody. Yes. Are you hearing that?
Yes.
It matched the drug addict. It can deliver him. It matched the prostitute. It can deliver her. It matched the drunkard. It can sober him. It matched the jailbird. It can break him loose out of the jail, make a preacher out of him. The blood of Jesus reaches to everybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It spans the whole world. It spans the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. And whosoever will can come.
Amen.
It's power in the blood. If I be lifted up. As the serpent lifted up in the pole was an image of the very thing, so was Christ. Even Christ himself had no sin, but he became sin. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Hear me this morning while I give you something. This is why you can put no other man in the place of Jesus. Want you to hear it? Want you to get this good? This is why no other man, I don't care who it is, can go in the place of Jesus. Let me read you it again. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. No other man born of a woman could condemn sin in the flesh. They failed. They didn't just feel the miserable, they failed. How many knows when William Branham was shot with a shotgun? Some people maybe don't know that. In this life story, he almost blew his legs off. And he said he was sinking down. Sinking down. He felt he was going. His blood was going from him. He was sinking down. And he thought, because he received a commission, never to drink or smoke or defile your body in any way, not even with women or anything. God gave him a commission from a boy. He started to tell this all to the Lord. Now, God gave him that commission, but it didn't save him. It never saved him. But he said in an old coal bunker, he saw the cross appeared in the form of a bright cross. And he came to Jesus Christ as a Savior. That was a prophet of God. Yes. He came to the Savior. Yes. Hallelujah. And I tell you, every one of us needs to come to that same Savior. Come to the cross. You know, I love a story. And William Mullins, the first man I heard ever tell it. And he said there's a big policeman and he worked down in Belfast. And they called him, it used to be Bobby's, is that right? Didn't they used to call the policeman Bobby's? Bobby's. With the police, I know Uncle Bobby's here. But they used to call it, that's before some of our time. And maybe I'm just sort of in between that time. You young fellas wouldn't know about it. It's great to youth, isn't it? But they called him Bobby's, but this big policeman, he found this wee fella crying. And he said, he got him by the hand and he started walking with him. And he says, I'm lost. Don't know where I am, I'm lost. And he was crying. He started walking him anyway, and he walked him along for a long bit. And the wee boy pulled on his arm, and he said, I live over there. That's home. And he said, how do you know it's home, son? And he said, do you see that building with a big cross on it? He says, my house is just behind it. And he let him go. And an old man cried, and I'm not acting, this is real. That big policeman cried. Done a bit of preaching, that big policeman. And God said to him, if you get them to the cross, I'll do the rest. I'll do the rest. Did you hear that? I'll do the rest. You see, sometimes we think we're keeping other people. I can tell you that's a dangerous thing, for you couldn't keep yourself. Never mind keep somebody else. You know, my Uncle John told me something years ago when I was starting, and he says, Tommy, there's one thing when you're praying. Always pray for yourself. That's true, you know. You need to pray. Didn't the Lord say, our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. We need to pray for ourselves, then pray for others. Amen. And pray for one another. Not the truth. Every one of us needs God's help. The brazen serpent was a serpent without poison, and Christ was without sin. The thing which we really need to see is Christ crucified. Is our sin was laid on him. Our sin was laid on him. And him counted as a sinner and treated as a sinner and punished as a sinner for our redemption. Treated as a sinner, counted as a sinner for our redemption. In fact, we see in the cross our sins punished. Punished on the cross, crucified and borne and carried by our Redeemer on the cross. Now we want to see in one way the Israelite obtained relief from the brazen serpent was by looking at it by faith. By faith, they looked at it. The feeblest look brought healing to an Israelite and the weakest faith. If true and sincere, still today it brings salvation.
A true, sincere look at the cross and faith. By faith you see it. You're going to see the night that I'm going to show you again the secret of God's help. You can't work on it. It's all what the Lord's done. You can't work on it. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Did you get the bit in the end of the verse? Not a week or a month. Oh, well, I didn't feel it was saved this week. The devil will tell you that every week. He'll tell you you're not feeling too well today. He'll tell you you don't look great, brother. Wouldn't, isn't it better? Do you ever meet somebody and say, boy, you're looking well? Now that does something for you, doesn't it? You're looking well. Young man, you're looking well. Laura, doesn't that do something for you? No matter what age you are, you want to hear it anyway. Young woman, you're looking well. You know, you just married and all, you tell the wife you're looking well. She tells you you're looking well. Doesn't it do something for you? Let's see these women all smiling. But I tell you what, the devil wants to tell you, look, you're not really saved. But you are saved. Because the Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Look at this verse. Nicodemus the Great. God declares this to Nicodemus, the great purpose for which the Son of Man came. Lifted up on the cross. And the way in which the benefits of crucifixion becomes our own. He done it for us. The Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross, and whosoever believes in him or looks to him by faith, as the Israelites look to the brass serpent, shouldn't perish. The expression whosoever means everyone. That's what the expression whosoever means. It means everyone. Who will the Lord save? Everyone that'll come. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This shows us the width, the breadth from Christ's offer of salvation. Everyone, without exception, that believeth. Let me read you this wee phrase. Look to the brass serpent, first forgiven of sins, then healed, as the prophet said, or the poet said, look and live, my brother live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word, hallelujah. Look and live. There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Now I'm closing in a moment. It's gone 10 past. I'm closing. But I want to read you Isaiah 53. I want to read you it from the Amplified Bible this morning. You read it. Listen to this, how it's worded. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt. The iniquity is chastisement. Needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed, made whole. A lot of people never preach but made whole. You know the 10 lepers, Jesus healed the 10 lepers, everybody knows that. But how many knows, how many come back? One. And the Lord said to them, be thou whole. Now I'm going to tell you what I believe. You mightn't believe it. This is what I believe. God healed them 10. The leprosy was healed. So they no more had leprosy. They were healed. But how many knows leprosy can take your fingers off, your toes off? But that one fella come back and God said, be made whole. So them fingers must have grown again. And the toes must have grew. Or else he wasn't whole. You can't change it. That's the way it is. Just like I said about Peter, how did he get back to the boat? Now don't tell me that God threw him, Jesus threw him on his shoulder after he sunk and he carried him back into the boat. I don't believe that. He walked back. He walked back. Not only can God save you, God can make you whole. Not only did the atonement cover your forgiveness of sin and wash it away of sin, but the Lord can heal your body. By his stripes ye were healed. Wounded for us. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of it all. 1 Peter 2:24 and 25. You can read it. I'm not going to for the sake of time. healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I'm closing. I'm closing this morning. And I know probably we're all saved in this service as far as I know, but maybe somebody's not saved. But I prefer to bring this morning, and I'm not apologizing for it, for the unsaved. And I'm going to be preaching the gospel again tonight, and I'm not apologizing for that either. Because it needs to be preached. Let's stand our feet this morning. Let's close our eyes this morning, praise God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Look and live. Look and live. If you need God's touch this morning and you need to look and live, I want you to put your hand on wherever your problem is. Wherever you're not feeling well or something's wrong with you, put your hand on it this morning, and I'm going to pray for you this morning. I want you to believe God, that God will touch you where you are. It'll reach you where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I'm asking you this morning that you'll heal that back where the hands is laid on it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'll touch them eyes for the hands is laid upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'll take away the headache for the hands that's laid upon them, sickness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hippic, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'll touch your people. You've promised if we look to you, we can live. We're looking to you. We've spoke your name. We've mentioned your name. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Lord, we know there's healing just in the mention of your name. Touch your people now. Lord, I pray as well for those that need a financial miracle. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray it'll be pressed down and running over the top. Meet that need, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray you'll bless everyone. Pray for dear sisters that came over to be with us, Sister Samantha, Sister Sarah, and the little one. Bless them, Lord. Strengthen them. Meet their every need. Be with them. Bless the husbands. Bless the children. Wherever they go, Lord, and protect them and watch over them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we would just ask you for your wisdom and your guidance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother comes. If anyone feels you want even more prayer, come up and they'll give the elders to pray as well. If anyone feels you want more prayer, hands laid on or anything, you come. But those that's, God can do it, you know, right where you're standing. How many believe that? People's been healed before. The Lord's done it. Praise God. You believe it. And the Lord bless each one. God bless you, brother.
Yeah, and let's sing, of course, Lift Jesus Higher. Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. Lift Jesus.